Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to John Legend. The Billboard Awards were last night. They were done virtually. But John Legend wrote and dedicated that emotional performance to his wife, Chrissy Teigen. The two suffered a pregnancy loss earlier this year. She posted about it on social media, and then they've been pretty radio silent about it. We know how challenging that can be. The couple already has a daughter and a son. This was their third pregnancy, and it was a miscarriage during her pregnancy. And obviously, they are devastated about it, and as we can all imagine. And he sang that song to her last night at the Billboard Music Awards, which is very, very beautiful. And when the world learned about this, we on the show did a segment with Faith's Lodge. Faith's Lodge is an organization in Wisconsin where couples or families who have a medically complex diagnosis or who have had the death of a child can go to Faith's Lodge, and they have resources and they can heal, and cost is not a barrier. They will supplement cost. Faithslodge.org is the website if you have been through or you know someone who could be helped by Faith's Lodge. Great, great, great organization, and a beautiful song by John Legend.
Yeah, so sorry for their family. I know that pain. We lost a child to miscarriage. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be so a little sorry. Girl, and you never ever get over that. And no. I know a lot of listeners, I'm sure, have similar stories. But our heart goes out to their family and every family who suffers that kind of loss.
That's right.
Speaking of family, I'm about to borrow an X7 from BMW, Motorworks BMW. They're loaning me an X7.
We're in the middle of the show here, dude.
Kind of. My point is, I'm not ready to get on an airplane yet. I look forward to that glorious day, maybe next year. But we're driving east to see family. And it's amazing to me, the questions. Have you been good? Have you been disciplined? Have you been tested, Paul?
You mean from family, not from the BMW
family.
Dealer?
Okay. No, well, they have a lot of questions, too.
They don't want you to mess up their car, dude.
My sister, it's like the Spanish Inquisition, 20 questions.
Oh, sure.
You know, who have you been with? And have you been using protection? It's like bad dating.
Yeah,
dating only worse.
People are
afraid. I understand that. And my dad is 90. My mother-in-law is 92. So we want to keep them healthy. We want to see them. So I understand why they're asking those questions. And I think a lot of families going through the same dynamic. And it's going to be a different Thanksgiving season this year for a lot of families, Jor.
So are you doing the full body condom and the 2-week quarantine and the COVID test before you go?
I'm going to show up in a hazmat suit.
Sleep in the garage.
Yeah. But
I get that. My daughter is taking her first trip, you know, since the lockdown happened. I just drove her to the airport today. She has a virtual convention that she went to meet the leadership team, and she's going to be with, I think, one or two other people while they do this virtual convention for her youth group. And I was anxious about it. And she was too. She travels on her own because she's 17 and she's like full on grown up. But I got her one of those face shields to wear on the plane. She's loaded up with antibacterial. She's, of course, wearing a mask plus the face shield plus the gloves. Like, and it's my understanding that the airlines have been pretty good about it. They give you things to wipe down your seat even after they've disinfected it between flights. They give you things to wipe down your seat and clean it, and hopefully there's nobody in the middle seat. So she just took off a few minutes ago. So I look forward to hearing how it all went, and I just pray that she's safe.
Oh, she'll be fine. She'll be fine.
And she had a COVID test. We got her a COVID test, a week or so ago, because we wanted to let the family know that she's staying with it. You know, she's clean and she's been quarantining at home since then. You do the best you can with what you have.
Right. CDC, couple of guidelines. If you're hosting a holiday gathering, limit the number of guests. Try to have as many activities outside as weather permits. Mm-hmm. Right. If your gathering needs
Minnesota.
To be inside, yeah. If your gathering needs to be inside, try to increase airflow by partially opening a couple of windows. And then this one stood out to me. Limit your activities in the 2 weeks before your gathering and ask your guests to do the same. This decreases the risk of exposure to the virus and further spread. So we'll do the best we can.
Yeah, to follow up on those more CDC regulations, they've broken down their guidelines into three areas: low risk, moderate risk, and high risk. And they're saying low risk activities, a small dinner with only people that live in your household. Yeah, thanks. Or having a virtual dinner. You know, we did this at Passover where we had a virtual Seder. My daughter's bat mitzvah was virtual.
It was very nice.
You know, we had 100 people on there, which was actually really nice. Moderate risk, our small indoor dinner with family and friends. You know, visiting pumpkin patches or orchards, those are outside, but, you know, still a moderate risk. We're doing those anyway. And higher risk activities, anything that is in a crowd, for example, going shopping in crowded stores just before, on, or after Thanksgiving, attending crowded parades, and attending large indoor gatherings with people from outside your household. So, I mean, they're guidelines. They're hard to keep track of, but, they're hard to implement, but that's what we're supposed to be going on.
Common sense. Just common sense.
Bit. When we return, we're going to check in with Todd Walker. Where is he? And what's he doing about town? That's next. Todd About Town is out and about. He just sent me pictures that are stunning. They are pictures of the fall colors, but they look just like outside your window right now, because we have had such a beautiful fall here. But that's what Todd's up to. He is out and about and going to share, I don't know, where he's finding the best. Todd Walker, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jordana. Nice to talk to you. Yes, I decided, the weather is still agreeing with us, so I decided to take a stroll out in my neighborhood. So I sent you some pictures, and I'm doing some little bit of a hill workout on the Ramsey Hill in St. Paul and strolling through the Summit Hill neighborhood. So, yeah, the colors are beautiful, and if you look over the river, I sent you a picture of the High Bridge, and just the colors along the bluffs are, it's pretty spectacular, and the weather still is nice. So get out there and enjoy it, man. It looks like things are going to be changing very, very soon, but I'm getting a little workout, having a little fun, enjoying the colors.
Nice.
Hey, Todd, I'm glad the Renaissance Festival is pivoting and still finding a way to keep things going, but it's by the car now, right?
Yeah, Paul, thanks for noticing that one, because I hadn't heard that this was happening, and then some old colleagues of Jordana's and friends of mine at Fox 9 are big RenFest people, and they were like, hey, do you know this is going on? And the Renaissance Festival has pivoted, and they said, we're going to bring people kind of a version of what they were doing at the Minnesota State Fair. Mm-hmm. And so you can drive out to Shakopee. It's $20 per car, and then you drive through, and you take on some of the experiences. There's different food vendors. And so if you're a fan of taking that huge turkey leg or the apple dumplings or the cheese curds, you could drive through and you stop at all these different locations. But they're also bringing entertainment. So like Puke and Snot are going to be there. They have some of your
nice.
Other favorites. So they're some of the people that are serving you the food along the way. So you can get your RenFest fix in and have a little fun over the weekend. And this is the last weekend of it. So if you want to do that, take advantage of it now. Are you guys big RenFest people?
I did my fair share. Haven't been there lately, but I'm intrigued. I may have to check that out, Todd.
Well, I've done the RenFest a number of years, and I know Jordana has heard this story, but Paul, briefly,
it's so good.
I had to do the RenFest a number of years ago for Fox 9, and they have the jousters, of course, that are right out there, and they do that their little stunt. And so they said, you know what? Why don't we put Todd in the jousting outfit and costume? So I said, sure, I'll do that. I'm game. I do all these things for Fox, right? And I got in the costume, but I had to use the one that the guy right before me had just been practicing on a July hot morning. So I had to put on every article. And I'm just going to let your imagination go there, Paul, for a moment.
Ew.
Every single article. I could have wrung out his socks with the amount of water and sweat. And then remember, you put that big overcovering of the coat of armor over you. And then you put on the helmet. And the helmet was so wet that it practically slid off of my head. And I had to put on.
Stop
and
it.
I want to say one more time,
sounds
every
fun
article of clothing. So let your mind go there. So I enjoy the RenFest, but don't ever take an assignment like that. But,
no
but go out there and enjoy the food.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, yeah, God. I love that story, though. I like hearing it every year. And shockingly, I'm sort of a RenFest person. We don't dress up or anything, but I really like the pickles. And the kids always enjoyed it, you know, like sort of the old-timey swing rides and throwing axes. Like, it was fun with the kids. So I'm going to miss it, but maybe we'll...
It is fun. It is fun, but it's a long drive out there and then like from St. Paul, but then on a dusty, hot day, it's a long walk to get in there. But yes, RenFest is a lot of fun. Hey, did you guys see the one that I sent you on the Deadly Drive-In at Rosedale Mall?
What is this?
Yes.
What is this?
Okay.
I'm intrigued.
You guys, this is pretty cool. So it's $75 per car. And if you'll remember, last year they brought back the Haunted Basement and they put it in the lower level of Herberger's. And they, because the Haunted Basement, which has been going on for a number of years here, it had closed. So they brought that back. So this year they're stepping up their game a little bit, and of course with social distancing, so they're bringing us the Deadly Drive-In. So you drive through, and it's on the Herberger's loading dock, and so they have all these different vignettes. You stay in your car. It's a 30-minute, very intense experience. They really don't advise kids to take part in this. And then the ghouls and the goblins like basically come up to your car, and don't worry, when you leave, they wipe off your car, so your car is going to be in good shape. But yeah, it is. I saw some video from it, and a friend of mine is the marketing director there, and it is pretty intense. So if you really want to take in, so if you want to have like a haunted house experience, and each week I'm going to try to bring our audience a different experience and different haunted, Halloween deals. But this one I thought is pretty cool, and I did. I called the marketing director, who I've known for years, and I said, of Rosedale, I said, okay, you got to tell me. I'm going to share this with the CCO listeners. Is this really that cool? She said, it is absolutely amazing, and people are loving it. So you go, you literally drive in, and then they have like the black curtains all the way around the car, and then you're in the car, and the experience happens. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to report back on what it's like, because I really can't imagine what this is all about. I mean, can you guys? Yeah, it's just different.
Sounds
I'm
good
excited
to me.
We might try it.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Okay, I was... last week I was up in Anoka. I had a meeting up there, and the person I was meeting with, it was at a distance, said, come back in a few weeks because, Anoka is the Halloween capital of the world. I said, I absolutely know. So are they doing their big parade this year, Paul?
They are, Todd.
Yes, they are. They are.
I looked into it also because I thought this is their 100th anniversary. So when you think of it, I mean, literally this has been going on 100 years. I went online. I called one of the organizers just to be sure, like, some of these activities were definitely happening and weren't just not updated on their website. But this is a completely volunteer-run event. They're doing the parade. They're doing the different, the pumpkin carving. They're doing tons of activities for the kids. They're doing a medallion hunt and a costume contest. And then they are having the big, huge Grand Day Parade on the 31st. And they are doing the house decorating contest. So there's a lot going on. It's basically a month-long event that ends, of course, with a combination of Halloween night. But yeah, I mean, that place just really puts everything out there for Halloween. Yeah. I have to admit, I've never been to Anoka for their Halloween festival. But have you guys been?
Yes.
You have.
It's very cool.
I have not.
And did you?
I've been for the parade.
Yeah, did you see that the world's largest pumpkin was grown in Anoka? Wasn't that a great story? It was grown by a guy in Anoka, and he hauled it all the way out to California to get it weighed, and he has the largest pumpkin, and he's a Anoka guy that had just a basic seed, and I followed up on his whole story. So they're going to have that pumpkin, the world's largest pumpkin, in the parade as well. So if you want to see that thing, it's pretty amazing.
And pumpkin pie for everyone. Hey, Todd, I have a serious question. Is it Halloween or Halloween?
You know, I am going to go
asking
with
for a friend.
Halloween.
Halloween.
What are you going with?
What do you say?
I say Halloween.
Halloween. What do you
think?
But
I've heard some people say Halloween.
Yeah.
Dan, do you care? You're a linguist. No? You have no idea?
Say Halloween. I think we stick with Halloween. And right. You say potato, I say potato. Let's just all say Halloween. That's what I
like it.
I learned some good stuff today.
All right, guys. One last thing, because if people want to take in the artesian home tour, and I think, Jordana, you're familiar with this. It's a big home tour that's taking place. This is this weekend and next weekend, and it's actually on site. You can go look at 14 different homes and go around and get aspirational things that you might want to do to your home. So that is happening this weekend as well. It's $25. They're doing social distancing. But, you know, it might be a good time to go in and see what kind of projects you want to do this winter and fall. So that'll be kind of
inspiration.
Cool.
Very cool.
All right.
All right, guys.
Great to hear from you, Todd. Enjoy your exercise. Keep taking those pictures. They look beautiful. I will post them on Twitter. Todd About Town. Of course, you can find him on Facebook at Todd P. Walker and his website, toddpwalker.com.
See you next weekend.
Thank you, Todd.
When we get back, we're going to speak with Jane Kirtley. She's the director of the Scylla Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota. We'll talk to her about the dueling town halls this morning and that very shady report about Joe Biden's son's dealings in Ukraine. That's up next.
Paul and Jordana, happy Thursday. Dan Cook producing today, trying to get you up to speed, get ourselves up to speed on a lot of breaking news and bring you experts who can hopefully provide some perspective and context and analysis. If you missed this, Tuesday of this week, the president retweeted an article from an account with a history of promoting QAnon, you know, the conspiracy theory QAnon.
Oh, we know.
And it said, basically, it alleges that Joe Biden and Barack Obama may have had SEAL Team 6 killed.
Oh my God.
And that bin Laden may still be alive. The conspiracy theory also alleged that Obama killed bin Laden's body double. The president then went on to retweet a video that was viewed nearly 900,000 times. The source of these baseless allegations also promotes QAnon. So, you know, you don't take this kind of stuff lightly, having the president of the United States accusing your opponent of murdering U.S. troops would be disastrous for most candidates. Interesting, the major media just kind of blew it off, didn't even report on it. And I found that interesting. That's kind of where we are right now, where conspiracy theories, unhinged rants. All right, it's a Thursday.
My husband got an email about this also, how masks are a hoax, and even Dr. Fauci said we shouldn't wear them. Again, he said something that we should conserve them last March. We will talk about that email from that unhinged person at 5:35 on my show with Dr. Hilden. But now, speaking of this conspiracy theory, very curious what our next guest has to say about that. Jane Kirtley, a frequent guest of the show, is the director of the Scylla Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota. She's joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Jane, I can almost see you shaking your head on the other end of the line when Paul was mentioning that.
Yes. Good afternoon, Paul and Jordana. We are living in a really surreal world, I think, at this point, where truth and falsity seem to have blurred. And you know, I think one of the things that we're planning to chat about briefly is the role that social media plays in all of this as a conduit and some would say an enabler for the sharing of this kind of misinformation and rumor.
But when the president tweets it out, like, again, my husband had a person he thought was a normal person send him conspiracy theories. And then we get calls. I get emails all the time. Well, how do you know it's not true? How can you prove it wrong? And you can't prove, I guess it's hard to prove a negative or prove that something that doesn't exist doesn't exist. What is the proper response to that, Jane?
Well, I think that what we're seeing is that the companies like Facebook and Twitter and even to some extent Google have come to the party pretty late in terms of deciding that they actually are going to make some attempt to curate this kind of stuff, especially in the context of the upcoming election. And I think they're getting praise from some quarters for that, but of course there are Republicans who are saying that they are censoring information that the public vitally needs to hear before the election.
Jane, look, I mean, a lot of people don't want to acknowledge reality on a long list of topics, whether it's the state of the virus, how the virus was handled, what we have to do going forward, climate change, racial inequity. It's a long list. And it's a lot easier for some people to just kind of live in their own parallel world and make up their own facts or possibly just admit the facts in that agree with their political views and their worldviews. Has it always been like this, or is social media really fanning the flames?
You know, I hate to vilify any particular medium, especially new media, because I think they all have a role to play in our public discourse. But the reality is that groups like Facebook and Twitter, with their whole ability to basically tailor a news feed either to what you've said you want or what their algorithms have determined you want, does mean that we can live in an echo chamber if we choose to. The other problem, of course, is the decline of the mainstream media in terms of both their reach and the financial resources they have. Because say what you will, and of course people have very strong opinions about the bias of the mainstream media, the fact remains that they are news organizations. They have standards. They're pretty transparent about what they do, and you have an option to choose among different ones. But I think people are hunkering down more and more to reinforce the beliefs they already have or their worst instincts. And it's very easy to do that. You just, you know, you don't read the daily newspapers, you don't watch mainstream television networks, and you just live in your own little world. It is very disturbing, because I think it's impossible for us to have a national conversation if we can't at least agree on the facts. We may disagree on how we deal with the facts, like how do you deal with COVID-19, but you know, if people are seriously still saying that this disease is a hoax, I don't know how you even start the conversation with them.
And then when you have the president, the leader of the free world, tweeting out conspiracy theories, it's hard to combat that as a regular news organization like our news organization, because people are going to say, well, you can't prove it's not true.
And the other piece of it is that, you know, and this is something that all of the news media have been struggling with ever since Donald Trump started running for office, but certainly since he's become president, which is if the president's saying it, it by definition is news. You know, and so you're left with this dilemma of, are we going to report or transmit what the guy is saying without making any attempt to put it into context? Do we just hide behind the fact that, hey, the president said it, so it's a matter of public interest for you to hear, even if you have every reason to believe that what he's saying simply isn't true?
Jane,
let's.
Can you? I'm sorry. I think you and
sorry.
I are on the same page. We want to pivot and ask specifically about Hunter Biden. The New York Post published yesterday a story alleging that Hunter Biden, the son of Joe Biden, introduced his father to a top executive at a Ukrainian energy firm, Burisma, and that Biden pushed for the firing of a prosecutor investigating Burisma. Does any of that hold up? Is there anything to substantiate that?
Well, of course, what's so bizarre about this story is that apparently the source of it was from the hard drive of a laptop computer that allegedly Hunter Biden dropped off at a repair shop to be repaired. For some reason, the guy who was the owner of the shop, or at least was repairing it, decided to pass the hard drive along to the New York Post. And now they're publishing what purport to be emails taken from that hard drive, although computer forensic specialists question whether they are legitimate because they apparently don't have the metadata that you would expect to see with this. So anyway, as a result of all of this, we've got social media companies like Facebook and Twitter saying, we're not going to link to these stories or we're not going to publish these stories because we have standards that say we don't deal with hacked information. That's what Twitter says. They've got a rule that says they don't post hacked information. And there's been a major outcry from the conservatives because they're saying this is bias against Republicans. This is information the public needs to hear. And again, I think part of the problem is Facebook and Twitter, and to some extent Google, have been behind the curve on this. They've been trying to play it both ways. So they've been trying to act like they're just neutral conduits, but yet they do curate information for the public. And this is why they're running afoul with not just the Republicans, but now the FCC, which is the chair of the FCC, Ajit Pai, has said they're going to seek to regulate social media platforms going forward, partly because of an executive order President Trump signed earlier this year that is saying that they need to be regulated.
And it's important for our listeners to understand two Senate committees already looked into Beau Biden's dealings with Ukraine and Joe Biden, and excuse me, it was Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, and found the former vice president did nothing wrong. This is two Senate committees. These are Republican. We now have a Republican Senate. So I just want folks to understand that, that this has been investigated twice by Republicans who lead the Senate, and nothing was found. Jane, before we let you go, I just want to get into tonight a little bit. We're having these dueling town halls, and NBC is getting skewered for the fact that they are airing President Trump's town hall directly against what was supposed to be a debate, you know, which is now Joe Biden's town hall. You think they made the right move? What is your thoughts on that?
I'm incandescent with rage that they have chosen to do this. No, because I'm a big supporter of the news media, and I'll fight to the death to defend their First Amendment rights. But this is just so tacky because it looks like one of two things. Either it's a ratings grab or they're acting at the behest of the president. My view is that the president knew what the ground rules were. He got sick. They had to change the format. He said he didn't want to play. That's his prerogative. Vice President Biden was prepared to go forward, and then I guess because he was feeling better or because he didn't want to, you know, not be out there, the president apparently was approached to buy or went to NBC and asked them to run this. And I have no problem with them running a town hall with President Trump. I just don't think it should be at the same time as Vice President Biden's town hall. The public should be able to watch both of these things without having to have a split screen and go back and forth and try to figure out what's going on. I just don't think it's serving the public interest to do this.
Okay. Jane Kirtley, we appreciate your perspective. Director of the Silla Center for the Study of Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota. Thank you, Jane, for weighing in and giving us your thoughts.
Thank you so much.
And when we come back, time to be analyzing media, new media, changing media, fake news. I mean, she is so relevant right now, and I'm just grateful for her opinion when she comes on the show.
We used to have some unity because we'd all gather around the hearth, the TV set, and we'd watch Walter Cronkite or David Brinkley or Tom Brokaw, and at least we kind of agreed on the facts. We disagreed on policy, but we agreed on what constitute facts.
Facts
and
facts.
As she said, if we can't agree on the facts, how on earth do you move forward? So anyway, we have a fact in that Mike Max is coming up next. Paul and Jordina. You hate it when I call you that, don't you?
Not a fan. Not a fan.
I'll only do it once a month. You can call me whatever you want. It's all right.
Okay.
Jordana Green and Dan Cook producing today, and Mike Max joining us. with the latest. Is there going to be a Vikings game on Sunday? Hey, Maxie.
I thought he was there.
Mike?
We hope there is.
Bueller? Mike?
Well, we should ask Dan. I mean, we hope there is, but obviously the Atlanta Falcons shut down their facility as four team members tested positive for COVID. So, I mean, the question for us, of course, is will Sunday's game against the Vikings be postponed? I know the NBA did a great job of this because they're in a bubble. I guess it's not possible for the NFL to have done a similar thing.
No, because they travel. I mean, the NBA was sequestered in Orlando. They spent $150 million. Yeah. And frankly, you know, the NBA stars, the players, and yeah, they're well compensated, but they mm-hmm. sacrificed time with their families.
Yes.
There was no back and forth. I mean, they were in a bubble, and you can't do that in the NFL. I think Maxie has recovered from his fainting spell. And joins us now. Hey, Maxie.
Hey, can I give you two observations for Talk Sports?
Please.
Full disclosure, I'm out at Ridgedale.
Okay.
And just two thoughts. There, you want my definition of a crisis when the Caribou Coffee in the middle of it is closed.
Oh, no.
You can't get coffee on the ground floor here. And
they remember that place.
They can't get staffing, it says on the sign. I thought, ooh, that's getting serious.
It's a problem.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Problem. You need
you
your caffeine.
Can I get you something else, Jordana?
Well, it's a problem for you, Mikey, because I know, A, how much caffeine you drink and how many sweets you eat.
Yeah.
So I hear you.
Yeah.
Like, caffeine, white sugar, and alcohol are my three main food groups. So I feel your pain, buddy.
Okay, one other observation, Jordana. Lululemon is overpriced.
Yeah, but let me tell you. You walk in there, and you buy those pants. Yeah. They're golf pants. They're like a... you know, they're almost like a cotton material. You will wear them on the golf course. You will wear them to a wedding. You will wear them everywhere. They're like a stretchy, they're men's pants. You go and you pay the $180 or $120, whatever it is, and you will wear them every day, Mikey.
Okay, well, that wasn't buying for me, so it became even more overpriced. You know what I'm saying?
You need to go back and buy those pants. Yeah, handsome husband finally succumbed.
Somebody else.
No.
I'll go to the Gap. Thank you very much. Hey, Mikey.
Thank you.
Is there going to be a game Sunday? I mean, with the Falcons testing positive?
Unless more comes out of Atlanta than has so far. The NFL, it's a good time to have this happen because the NFL keeps getting kind of figuring it out as they go along and coming up with some real standards for it. And to have a guy test positive earlier in the week, okay, they handled that. Then now you got a non-playing member personnel. We've learned that that's not so severe. Unless there's more players that would test positive, if it's front office or somebody like that, I think they can navigate through this one and get to the goal line. Now, the Vikings do have a bye week coming out of that, so even if they wanted to delay it a couple of days and play on Tuesday like it has become chic here in the NFL the last few weeks, they do have a little buffer zone there that they could still play it this week and get it in. But for all intents and purposes, they'd like to play it on Sunday at noon. And I would think that if that's the extent of what we know from Atlanta right now, unless they got more that they haven't disclosed yet, which is a possibility, then I would think they would play on Sunday.
What's this, Mikey, about PJ Fleck taking one of the largest COVID-related pay cuts in the country? What's that story?
Well, it's there's a lot of math involved in this stuff, and these coaches are being asked to take pay cuts. He's taken one. Everybody's taken one. There's lots of different ways that you can take your pay cut. It can come right out of your contract. There's other things that you might have tied to your contract that maybe you forego that doesn't show up in terms of straight percentage pay cut. He's taken one. Richard Pitino has taken one. I don't read a lot into that as if it's nothing against PJ Fleck, but if it's some huge act of bravado, because there's lots of different revenue streams for these coaches.
Mikey, I hear the music. That means we have to wrap it up. I'm sorry I asked you that so late.
I'm going to go
but
find
we will
a good sale, okay?
Good luck.
Get us something at Lululemon.
Bye, Mikey.
We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.